is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
And shout to God with a voice of triumph. Come on, is there somebody in here that can clap their hands? All ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. One, two, three.
With a voice of triumph, come on and shout.
say,
yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. But I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. That his joy's gonna be my strength.
Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm trading my sorrow.
Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. That his joy's gonna be my strength.
Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my
There's something going on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are thankful that we serve a God who's not dead? Our God is alive, and he's alive forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to begin speaking to you about praise and worship in the life of a believer. And we're going to talk about his presence. That's going to be the subtitle of this morning's message. We're going to talk about his presence. Now, I'm talking about
personal worship as well as corporate worship. I hope the only time you don't worship God is when you come to church on a Sunday morning. Somebody say amen, right? So now what we do here on Sunday mornings, however, is not a concert. We are not performing for anybody. This is not entertainment. Praise and worship, listen, is not singing songs. The world sings songs. We, the church, we worship. The world performs and the world entertains. We, the church, we worship. So our worship that we do here on Sunday mornings is based in the Old Testament with David, our forefather, establishing musicians and singers and writing hundreds of psalms to corporately give God glory through song. So worshiping our God corporately in music and in songs is nothing new. This isn't something new in the 20th century or the 21st century. This has been going on for approximately 3,000 years. Now, have the styles changed? Of course. How about instruments? Have instruments changed over the years? I can remember when they first brought a piano into the church, they thought we were turning it into a nightclub. Come on, do I got a witness? No. Then came the drums. Oh, no. You know, that's a devil's instrument. How many of you know that all things are created for God's glory? So has the styles changed? Has the instruments changed? And listen, church, styles and instruments are neither right or wrong. So whether you're using an electric guitar here in the United States or you're worshiping God on a tabla in India or steel drums in the Caribbean or in the islands, whether the style is based in jazz, rock, or Latin or some indigenous Indian flavor, listen, it's all good. Somebody say it's all good. It's just a style, right? So listen, with these stuck in the muds, maybe you know one or two that state unless you're singing the old hymns with a pipe organ, it's not true worship. Now, there's a Greek word for that. You all know it. Baloney. Listen, you will not find a pipe organ or an 18th century hymnal in the villages of India. You won't find it in the villages of Africa. But what you will find are churches and saints of God filling the temple with worship, singing and dancing according to their cultural styles and using different kinds of instruments that we're not familiar with and singing melodies that we might not be familiar with and singing in languages, listen, that we're not familiar with, but they're giving our God all the glory that only He deserves. It's a fulfillment of Revelation 7 and 9. It's an earthly representation of Revelation 9 when the Bible says that there will be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every color, come on somebody, you with me, using every kind of instrument to give our God all the praise and glory that's due His name. Come on, church. Listen, worship supersedes musical styles and instrumentation. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 4, and we'll break that down in a later message, but He said the true worshiper will worship God in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say a true worshiper will use a pipe organ or a banjo. It doesn't say that you have to sing songs from a certain era. A true worshiper will worship our God in spirit and in truth. So true worship doesn't even require music of any style. Listen, if you're dependent, key word, if you're dependent on the praise team to lead you into worship on a Sunday morning, you're probably not a true worshiper. I know that may have stung a few of you, but listen, you need to hear this. That's not to say that the praise team doesn't enhance our worship. It certainly does. There is scriptural reference for that. And that's not to say that anointed worship leaders can't lead you into a deeper level into worship, because they certainly can, just like a good expositor of the Word of God can give us a deeper understanding of God's Word. God can use them to give us a fresh revelation. So God uses anointed worship leaders and worship teams to take us to new levels as well. But we can't be totally dependent on them. We at least have to have some fire burning within us. Come on, somebody. You have to at least come to this house with some kind of spark going on a Sunday morning. So then when we all come together, we all have our own little flame of worship, and we unite together as a congregation. The fuel falls down. The oil of the Holy Ghost, the manifest presence of God, shows up, and the house explodes. Hearts are mended. Lives are changed. Chains are broken, and the captives are all set free. We're talking about the presence of a holy God. Come on, somebody give him a praise in the house. So this morning is a foundational message, and I want to give you some background on Judah Ministries and the foundation of our ministry here. Since we all pretty much come from different church backgrounds, we come from different traditions, let me talk to you about why we worship the way we do at Judah. Now, in your bulletin this morning, if you received a bulletin, it says, why do we? There are several scriptural references to what we do here at the church. There is nothing that we do on a Sunday morning that is not biblically based. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why we say, well, you come here on a Sunday or for a worship service, we encourage you to worship God in any form or fashion, as long as it's according to the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, since we all have different backgrounds, different traditions, let me talk to you about Judah. Because our style and exuberance of worship may be a little foreign to you if you're new here. If you've come from a very traditional background, as I was brought up, you may have never seen anybody dance in a church. You may never heard anybody shout or cry or speak in unknown languages. So it may seem a little strange to you, and you might be a little bit uncomfortable at first. However, there's good news. Because if you stick around long enough, and if you get enough revelation, before long, my sister or my brother, you might find yourself dancing in the aisles and shouting and speaking in a new kind of a tongue that you never even learned before. Come on, does somebody hear what I'm saying here? That's why I always say it this way. Listen. No revelation, no worship. Little revelation, little worship. A whole lot of revelation. A whole lot of worship. Come on, watch. Let me lay this out for you. When you first got saved, you couldn't worship Jesus. You had zero revelation. How could you worship the one you don't even know? But you got saved. And you got a little revelation. And before you knew it, you were doing, you know, we used to do the belt highs. Hallelujah. Come on, how many of you gone to a full gospel church and, you know, you're newly saved or it's a new experience for you and you're coming in and, you know, you've been there a few weeks and now it's like, hallelujah, hallelujah. A month later, you're getting a little more revelation because of teaching by the love, the Spirit of God. And before you know it, you're up to the shoulders. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, you're expanding. Now you begin to look around. Am I doing it right? Hallelujah. Glory. Your vocabulary is expanding. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. She taught up. But you keep exposing yourself From no revelation, honey. You went to a little revelation. Then one day, you got a full revelation. You threw up your hands and Hatamo Shatanamo Sanaba. Oh, my God has set me free. Hallelujah. Come on, Judah. Hey. Honey, if you're still at the belt highs, hang around long enough. Hang around long enough. You'll get a full revelation. How can we not? So this is what we do, why we do what we do. Zero revelation, zero worship, little revelation, little worship. Oh, but honey, when you get a whole lot of revelation, when God heals you, huh? When he saves you. Well, hey, when he delivered you from that drug addict, come on, church. When he set you free from Jack Daniels or Budweiser, come on, somebody. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. No longer do you bow at the porcelain god, huh? Let me get back to the foundation of Judah. So as the founder of this ministry, I kind of likened my journey to the life of David. And let me explain what I mean by that. As a new believer at 21 years old, I was radically saved. Radically saved. That's why I radically preach. I radically praise. I radically worship. Because I serve a radical God who radically loves me, who radically saved me. I can't speak for you. I'm just talking about my experience. At 21 years old, I was radically saved. I was drawn into worshiping our God many times, church, all by myself in the desert at the midnight hour. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about right there? Talk to me, somebody. Much like David in the fields with his sheep. There was nobody else around. That's why you see David write. Sometimes, honey, you just got to encourage yourself. Sometimes you're in your room all by yourself. You're at home all by yourself. You got to throw up your hands, honey. You got to build that altar of sacrifice. So I'm a worshiper at heart. I'm a worshiper at heart. And most of my years in ministry under our God have been in serving in leading worship. Now, out of that worship came a passion for the lost, a compassion and a passion for the downcast and the dejected and those who are in despair. I began to get involved in local street ministries and ministering to the homeless. And I took my first mission trip in 1985, and we took a trip to Guatemala. And when we went down there, we were building a building for the niños, for the babies, because down there, you know, in Guatemala, it's predominantly Catholic. They don't believe in a birth control, so the husbands and wives just keep having children, but they have no means to take care of them. I know this is a hard concept for us to get, but they take their babies and they go take them and they lay them on the side of the road, hoping that an orphanage will pick them up. We found children down there that were along a garbage dump. 4-year-old brother and a 2-year-old sister rummaging through trash just to find something to eat. Okay? So this was eye-opening for me. This changed my heart. It just gave me a whole new perspective of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My heart, I'm telling you, was changed forever. Was changed forever. My wife and I established the Word Up Inner City Outreach back in the year 2000. We actually organized our first meeting right up here in a field where there used to be a nightclub for Word Up Inner City Outreach. Little did we know, 10 years later, we would be here. I didn't even know anything about McKeesport. I didn't even know it was on the map. But God had us do our first outreach there. We held outdoor crusades and meetings throughout the city of Pittsburgh for a number of years. Word Up Inner City Outreach was mostly targeted to inner city youth, but we reached thousands of souls, lost souls, young and old, and hundreds have given their life to Jesus Christ through that ministry. So I say all that to say God, amen. So God has called us to be warriors, just like David stepping up to the plate when he faced off with Goliath. How many of you are familiar with the story? But we were worshipers at heart. Lastly, God appointed David to be the king or the overseer of Israel. And God has appointed me a worshiper at heart and a warrior for the kingdom to be the overseer of this ministry. And hear me when I tell you, I say that with zero pride. I say that with the deepest humility that I could say that. I am extremely humbled by what God has done in my life. Amen? So listen, that wasn't our plan. Back in the day, Darla and I, wasn't our plan to have a church. This isn't my vocation, somebody. It's a calling. This is not a job for me. It's a godly appointment. All I'm looking forward to at the end of my days is to hear this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's all. That's all. So the two pillars of this ministry is worship and evangelism, which coincides with the two commandments that Jesus taught. And those pillars are set on the foundation of his word, which is truth. We have a scripture, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 33. They were asking Jesus which were the most important commandments. This is Jesus, he says. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So number one, Jesus says to love the Lord your God. Agapeo in the Greek language means sacrificially love. It means to love the Lord sacrificially with all your heart. Not just a little bit of your heart, but all your heart and all your mind. Come on, how many of you know Christians don't check their mind in at the door? Christianity isn't brain dead and it's not blind faith, somebody. Worshiping with your mind is studying and reading into the Word of God. All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. In other words, with whatever abilities that you have, you worship Almighty God. So that's our vertical worship. Number two, Jesus said to love your neighbor, agapeo. It's the same thing. It's the sacrificial love. You love your neighbor as yourself. And that is what evangelism is all about. It's about reaching outside these walls, be it through crusades or personal evangelism. The word evangelism or evangelist in the Greek is euangelistos, which means a bringer of good tidings. How many of you know we got the good news within us? We got the good tidings. It's up to us to take them to the world. So if I could have my slide up here, Caleb. This is the house of Judah. All of our ministries sit on top of worship and evangelism with unity and foundation of his word. So let me go through these very briefly. Our Operation 2535, we feed the and clothe the community. We invite the stranger in every Friday. We're launching a prison ministry in the fall, so we're reaching out. We're reaching out. Youth ministries, we have Word Up programs, Kids Club, Family Youth Night every Tuesday. We give the kids a wonderful dinner and minister to them. We have discipleship with men's Bible studies on Wednesdays, women's ministries on Fridays, special meetings, conferences, Zoom meetings. Pastor Lloyd is about to launch a Sunday morning discipleship class. Amen. We have international ministries. Listen, we are reaching, and I'm not speaking evangelistically. Y'all missed that. I'm not exaggerating. We are reaching millions around the world through our multi-ministry meeting. We host a global Bible study and prayer meeting every Thursday with attendees from around 10 different countries. We're building churches. We're digging water wells. We're building orphanages. And we fed thousands of people from around the world during the pandemic by the grace of God. Somebody in the house needs to give our God a praise. So that's just some of the ministries that we are engaged. All of this ministry is set on two pillars: worship and evangelism. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The mortar that holds all of this together is unity. The one thing that Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17 when he was praying for us, the church and the apostles, three or four times, depending on which translation you read in there, Jesus prays, Father, may they be one, even as you and I are one. May they be one. Why? Because how many know the devil's going to try to come in? And we see it in society today. The destruction of the family today. The devil tries to divide and conquer, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. So it's all built on unity. Psalm 133 says, behold how good it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. It's like the oil being poured out, the Holy Ghost, when we come together in one. That doesn't mean we agree on everything. I don't agree with everything with my wife. After a while, she'll come to my side, but you know. Oops. All right, y'all, pray for me. But it's like the oil, you know, we don't all have to disagree, but if we have one purpose and one mind and one accord, God will pour his spirit out on us and we can accomplish great. That's why Gideon's army, we don't need 30,000 troops. Just give me 300. That's all. That's all. We don't need a whole lot, but we need to be in unity. So without the foundation of the truth of the Word of God, listen, church, everything else crumbles. Without the Word of God, we are just providing social services. Amen. And this is nothing but a social club, if that's all we're doing. But we are here to preach Christ crucified. Amen? So we strive to be presence driven. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. We're talking about praise and worship. We're talking about his presence. Our desire, listen, is him, not what he can do for us. Church is not the bless me club. People are, oh, I got to go get my blessing. No, no, no. Much of the church is dyslexic when they read Psalm 103. My Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It does not say, bless me, O Lord, and all my soul. You understand? Listen, we come here to bless his name. If Jesus Christ isn't exalted, we miss the point, church. Our desire is him, and nothing attracts his presence like a body of believers worshiping him at 525 Market Street, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus says, those are the kind my Father seeks. Let me dispel a little Christianese for you right here. How many of you know sometimes in the church we get these little slogans going around and they sound so cute? They sound so nice, but they're so doctrinally off. Come on, now how many of you heard this? When praises go up, wrong. Let me correct you. When praises go up, Blessings don't come down. The blesser comes down. Come on, somebody. Listen, Psalm 22 says the Holy One of Israel inhabits the praises of his people. Listen, we don't want the blessing. We want the blesser. We don't want healing. We want the healer. We don't want the deliverance. We want the deliverer. We don't want the salvation. We want the Savior. He inhabits. That in the original Hebrew language says when praises go up, and the word is tauda in the original, it means a congregational worship. It says that the Holy One of Israel inhabits. It means he comes down and he sits down. That means he ain't going anywhere real soon. He's just come to make himself at home. So when we come here on a Sunday morning, come on, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Come on, make yourself at home right here at Judah Ministries. Because, honey, hear me when I tell you, when the healer shows up, there's healing in the house. When the Savior's in the house, there's salvation in the house. When the deliverer's in the house, there's deliverance in the house. Come on, Judah, put your hands together and praise him in his place. So listen, that's why we sing and shout and dance with such exuberance. We're building our God a tabernacle of praise, a dwelling place for him. And he promises if we do it, he will show up and show out. So saints of God, we're presence driven, not purpose driven, although we have a purpose. We're presence driven, not program driven, although we have programs. Just because God is moving a certain way in Argentina or China or wherever else in the world, just because God is doing a certain thing up the street in a different ministry, that doesn't mean that's how he wants to move here in Judah. So we're not going to chase the latest, greatest church programs. I think I need to say that again. We're not chasing the latest. We're not trying to chase the latest, greatest hits on K-Love. We're chasing him. We're not trying to be Vogue. Come on, church. We're not chasing the latest, greatest gospel songs on the charts. We're not trying to keep up with the congregation. Just because somebody prays in a certain way. Ooh, I got to pray like that. You know, there a few years back, I don't know, this fire thing was going around, and everybody who prayed, fire, fire, fire. I was in a bush somewhere out in Malawi, no joking. And this brother was, fire, fire. Stuff travels around the world. This is not about form and fashion. This is about what is God doing in your life? What is he doing in my life? What is he doing with us as a congregation? If God is blessing another ministry in another form of fine, praise God, thank him, that's what he's doing here, but we're not trying to imitate ABC Church across the country. It's our desire to chase his presence. It's our desire to pursue his spirit so that we're led by the fire by night and the cloud by day. Because when the cloud stops, we need to stop. When the cloud moves, we need to move. When the cloud moves slowly, we move slowly. When the cloud moves quickly, we put on our running shoes. We must be presence driven.
Pastor Michael will be right back with today's message. If you would like to hear or watch other messages by Pastor Michael on your computer or electronic device, or learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at www.judahministries.net and click on Go Beyond. Now let's get back to today's message.
We don't want to do anything or go anywhere without his presence. Another scripture, Exodus chapter 33. This is Moses after they come through the Red Sea. Exodus 33, beginning with verse 12, the Bible says, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so that I may know you." That's marital intimacy knowledge right there. "And continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Verse 14. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us?" Watch this line right here. "What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" It's the presence of God that separates us. And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Show me your glory." Listen, church, there is nothing more important than his presence. Nothing. If his presence isn't here in power and in might, if his presence isn't here to heal and deliver and to encourage and to edify, if his presence isn't here to convict and correct and to set free and to save a lost soul, we might as well pack up the ship, lock the doors. But when his manifest presence shows up, how many of you know sometimes it's hard to leave the house? That's why, you know, a pastor friend told me a long time, the most difficult thing about worshiping is stopping. Because when his presence fills the house, you don't want to leave. Now turn your Bibles to Psalm 150. That was my open. Here's the message. Today, we're beginning a new series on praise and worship. We're going to begin with praise today. Psalm 150 is the climactic psalm of praise. Now, just to clarify, this is not a series on music, because how many of you know that you don't need to be a musician to praise God? You don't need to sing like Mama Darla to praise God. Really. Because God has put a special verse in the Bible for me. The Bible says in Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise." How many of you can at least make a joyful noise? Come on, somebody. So this isn't a series for singers, musicians, praise team members. It's for all who fall under the category of Psalm 150, verse 6, which has "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." If you have a breath in your body, can I see your hand? I don't see a casket here. Everybody's breathing. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So the last five psalms, which include Psalm 150, they're known as by the ancient Jews as the praise collection, and for good reasons. The word praise is used 40 times. All of these psalms begin with praise the Lord or hallelujah, depending on your translation, and they end with the same phrase. So today we're going to lay a foundation of what praise is. So we're going to read Psalm 150. The Bible says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the tremble and the dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah, give them a praise. Hallelujah. So as already stated, the first and the last phrases of these five psalms, the Lord is praise the Lord or hallelujah in the original text. Now remember that these psalms are commandments, not suggestions. In other words, when it says to praise God in a sanctuary, praise Him on the guitar, praise Him on the cymbals, it means to do it. When it says to praise Him by the lifting of your hands or the clapping of your hands, it means to do it. It doesn't mean to think about it. It doesn't mean to try to figure it out. It doesn't mean to find out if it's doctrinally correct. Meditate. It doesn't mean to watch somebody else do it. It's like Nike. Just do it. Find some way to praise God and begin to praise Him. And if you can't find any on the aforementioned list, let the last verse say, open your mouth and let everything that has breath praise God. And nowhere in the Bible does it say to praise Him by watching everyone else around you. You can't praise God by spectating. You can only praise God by participating. Come on, my brother, my sister. The water's warm. Jump in. So what we're doing here at the beginning of every service is not a mini concert. We are not providing entertainment. The Sunday meetings are not called entertainment this morning at Judah. They're called worship services. As I already stated, this is not something that was developed in the 20th century. You could track this 3,000 years back to David in the Old Testament. David had worship teams scheduled around the clock so that there was 24-hour worship going on in the tabernacle with David. Now, the worship team's duty, the worship team's job description is to invoke the presence of God by uniting the congregation in praise and worship. When we pray in the back, it's always our prayer, Father, make us disappear, that Jesus might be appear, that the glory of the Lord would fill the temple. Because how many of you know when the glory of the Lord appears, the atmosphere changes. Come on, somebody help me. When the atmosphere changes, hearts begin to melt. When the atmosphere changes, chains begin to fall off. When the atmosphere changes, relationships are healed. When the atmosphere changes, grace and mercy and forgiveness begin to manifest. Come on, somebody. When the manifest presence shows up, demons begin to quiver and quake. That's why the Bible says, let God arise and let the enemies be scattered. Listen, Judah, nothing will make the enemy flee in a believer's life like a praising saint. If the devil's bothering you, just begin to open your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. That devil will leave you alone. Why? Because your praise attracts the presence of God. So as you just begin to worship, now honey, it might start out with a tauta. It might just start out with a little, but eventually it'll become a shabbat. It'll rise up within you. It will change you from the inside out. But you've got to let it pass through your lip. John 4, Jesus says those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. It's the kind that the Father seeks the minute you hit your knees and you begin, Rabba Shukurai, worship your God. God is looking for you. There she is. There she is. There he is. And many times, God doesn't change our circumstance. Nobody can change your history. What's been done to you or what you've done. It's done. But God can change you in the midst of your circumstance. He could change you, and His presence does that. So as the musicians begin to play and the singers begin to sing and worship, It should cause you to refocus. Your daily challenges should fade away, and you should have a new perspective. Your problems should shift into a new dimension as we worship God. Listen, heaven and earth begin to blend together. It may not eliminate your challenges or your issues, but you'll get a new perception. As we exalt the King of Kings in worship, we should be getting better, a better understanding of His Lordship and His sovereignty, receiving more revelation of Him. That's why we sing, when I think about the Lord. In other words, when I meditate on Him, when I think about His goodness and His mercy, when I contemplate His grace and His mercy and how He saved me and He raised me. Come on, am I talking to anybody in this house? How He healed me and He delivered me and He filled me with the Holy Ghost. How He picked me up. He turned my life around. He set my feet on solid ground. When He does all these things, it makes me just wanna sit in my pew and twiddle my thumbs. No, it makes me wanna shout hallelujah. Come on, somebody in the house, do it. Hey, come on, church. So no matter how I feel, I will bless the Lord. That's why we say, in other words, we bless the Lord by choice. It's decisive. Our circumstances are inconsequential. Praise, come on. It's what I do. Even when I'm going through. My God. I've learned to worship You. Worshiping God is a learned experience. We learn how to battle. We learn how to praise in the midnight hour. We learn how to worship Him when all hell is breaking loose. That's why when we see Paul and Silas locked up in a prison jail for preaching the gospel, they could have moped around. They could have shared all their stories. Oh, life's not fair. Locked them up. But the Bible says they joined together. Paul singing the tenor part. Silas singing the baritone part. But then God brought in the bass part. And the earth began to shake. And the jail cell was broken open. I want to encourage somebody here today. If you're locked up in a jail cell, you need to open your mouth. Begin to give Him some praise in His house. Find somebody. Find a Silas. Find somebody who will agree with you, recognizing that our God is King. He's worthy. He is the Lord of Lords. There's none like Him. Because when we come together and we unite our voices in adoration of Him, He shows up and shows out. There is nobody like Him. Nobody like Him. But come on, saints, let me say this again, and I'm going to say this throughout the series. Zero revelation. Zero worship. Little revelation. Little worship. I'm trying to encourage you. Bury yourself in this word. Get the revelation. Get to the Bible studies. Get to the Zoom meetings. Get here every Sunday that you can. Because the more you're around it, the more revelation you're going to receive. My God.
Take over. are here to take over, not here to take sides. We are here to take over, no room for compromise. We are here to take over.
Oh, yes, we are.
Not here to take sides. We are here to take over, no room for compromise. Taking authority,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
take
yeah.
it over. Kingdom authority.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
To proclaim the gospel.